Barbara Stimler, Reel 1.
Interview with Barbara Stimler on Friday the 14th of August for the Imperial War Museum Holocaust exhibition. So Barbara, could you start by describing to us what life was like for you as a child before the war?
I was the only a child of Sarah and Jacob Krakowski. We lived in a small town called Aleksandrów Kujawski, not far from the German border. I had a very happy childhood. Being an only child, I was not short of anything. My father used to take me skating. I had every year I had a birthday party. I had a little bike. I had a very, very good childhood. I was sent to one of the best schools, where I was only one Jewish child. Nuns were teaching, and actually I was really the apple of my father's eye. Everything was perfect for me. I had a lot of friends, mostly Polish friends, I must say. And as far as anti-Semitism was concerned, I really didn't feel much. I don't know, maybe I was too young to feel it, but some of my friends, they had very bad times. Walking on the streets, the boys used to throw stones at them. I never had that. Having a lot of Polish friends, of course, I used to spend a lot of time with them.
Tell me about your friends, what you did with your friends.
Oh, we used to draw, we used to play games, children's cards. Even one of my friends was still alive, and I am in contact with her. She lives in Warsaw. I used to go there. They had a piano, and I had already piano lessons as well, and I didn't have a piano at home, and I used to go there, and I used to practice there. And life was very nice and smooth for me, till the war broke out.
Can you tell me a little bit about whether you were a religious family or a secular family?
Actually, my mother was religious. My father was not religious. Our shop was closed every Saturday and Sunday. My father used to go twice a year to synagogue on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. And my mother was keeping very strict kosher home. But unfortunately, I had to go to school on Saturdays because the school was open on Saturdays. And a lot of Jewish friends of mine didn't like it. But that's how it was my father's wish, and I had to obey.
You say you were the only Jewish child in your school.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about what that was like and what your school was like?
They were fantastic. When I started going to the nursery first, they were also nuns. And when the children in the morning were saying their prayers, the sister came over to me and she said to me, "You don't do your cross. You just have to ask your mommy to teach you in your religion a prayer." And my mother told me, and while they were doing their prayers, I was doing my Jewish prayers to myself, saying rather, and not doing, saying the prayers to myself.
What kind of shop did your family can you just tell me a little bit about that?
We had a small textile shop. As I said, I didn't feel so much anti-Semitism because before the war broke out, in front of the Jewish shops, we had pickets. The Polish people shouldn't go and buy from the Jewish shops. But in front of our shop, we never had a picket. So actually, we didn't feel very much anti-Semitism. It was there, but we ourselves didn't feel it.
What did you do in your holidays, Barbara?
On our holidays, we were living not far from a spa. And four or five of our girls, we used to have monthly tickets to go by train. And we used to go in the morning, and we spent all day long there, a place called Ciechocinek. And we spent quite a lot of time there. Sometimes my mother, with my cousin, my mother's cousin, she used to take a flat in a village, and we stayed there during the holidays in the village.
What was the town like where you lived? Can you describe it?
Yes, it was not a big town. We had cinemas and sometimes theatres coming, but of course I was too young to attend the theatres. My parents used to go out. And to the cinemas my mother used to take me when they were... musicals. When there were musicals, she used to take me to the cinema, but otherwise she didn't take me to see any horror films or something like that. And the life was very, very quiet. We didn't have no televisions. We had already a wireless at home, so we listened to the wireless. I used to read quite a lot. And that was our life, very, very quiet, not so as it is in England for children now. They've got a lot of entertainments here, but we didn't have it.
Can you tell me a little bit about your mother?
My mother came from a town not far from Alexandrov, came from very, very religious family. Her mother died before she got married, and my grandfather every Friday night used to come to us, stay with us overnight. And my mother had two brothers and two sisters, and they all, unfortunately, got killed during the war. From my mother's family, none of the family was left alive. Nobody. Only myself.
And tell me a little bit about your father.
Yes, my father, as a young man, went to Russia. He joined the Russian army, and then after the army, he became a businessman. When the revolution broke out, he came back to Poland. He ran away. And that was the time when his parents were already making themselves ready to go to England. Because my father's oldest brother came to England before the First World War and brought over his parents and his sister, a child, and her husband. And that is why I came really to England, because I remember when my mother used to write letters to them, and I did not know which one belongs to which one. I remember the surnames, but it was NW10, W10, or W11. So after the war, I wrote a letter to them and put down all the names and the districts of London, and eventually she got a letter. But in the meantime, I also had an interview with an English reporter, because after the war, I was working in a town hall, and he put me really in the telegraph here, and people were phoning to my aunt that her niece is alive, and that's how I got in touch with her and came to England.
Do you have any particularly vivid or special memories of your childhood? Just anything that really has stuck in your memory?
What stuck in my memory mostly is when Yom Kippur, my parents used to sit all day long in the synagogue, and I used to have some friends around, and used to put lipsticks on and put my mother's clothes and shoes. And that was my best time that time, really. And we enjoyed it. And, of course, being a child, we were still allowed to eat. And when I was younger, we had a maid living in. But then we had only a woman coming three times a day to see to things. And she used to prepare for me the meals on Yom Kippur. And that was really very nice because, dressing ourselves in my mother's clothes, it was lovely.
Did you observe any other...
Not in my house. Let's say Passover. Yes, Passover we did celebrate, and my mother changed all the cutlery and crockery, and yes, we did. We did observe Passover very much so.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to do any more?
Just the follow-up, actually. I think quite nice to get that.
All right. So what shall I say? I said about that I didn't feel anti-Semitism and they didn't. I am, yes, I'm trying.
Is it all right, Jim?
Yes, is it okay? Yes? Yes. Going.
Okay, so Barbara, could you tell us, please, why your father's shop wasn't picketed?
Actually, because my father was a very tough man, one evening they were sitting, you know, in summertime, before they closed the shutters, my parents used to sit outside the shop because it was quite hot. We didn't have no air conditioning or anything. And used to have a drink, a tea. We used to drink tea in a glass. And a Polish man was just passing, came over to my father and knock him on his shoulder and says, "You Jews so and so and so and so and so." Then again, "You Jews are so and so and so and so and so." And my father thought if the third time he was going to do that, he will remember me. And third time he done it, and my father put the glass with his saucer into his eye, throw him in the gutter and close the shutters. And from then on, nobody would touch me or have pickets in front of our shop.
Okay. So, Barbara, if you could tell us that you went to a Catholic school and give us a little idea of what that was like and what went on there.
Yes. They were treating me very, very...
If you could start off by just saying that it was a Catholic school, uh-huh. That would be useful. But wait a moment.
The school I was attending was a Roman Catholic school. The nuns were teaching us, of course, and they were treating me very, very well. Even when it was Christmas time, we used to have a pantomime. They never put me with the religious acting, but let's say one year I was a summer queen. We had four seasons of queens, and I was the summer queen, and they were very, very kind to me. They were trying the hardest not to upset me in any way that I was Jewish, and that was very helpful for me. And of course, we used to have all sorts of games, and I was very popular in the school. Actually, I had a lot of friends, Polish friends, a lot of friends. As I said before, I corresponded with two of them. And one of them sent me even photos from before the war, from school, the last day in the school, and from the nursery when I was going there, which is, to me, the most precious things I have ever had.
Thank you, Barbara. So the next So Barbara, I'd like you now to talk about the outbreak of war. What do you remember about that? What happened afterwards and the arrival of the Germans?
Now, when the Germans came in 1939, the 1st of September, everything was spoiled for me. First of all, the war broke out 10 o'clock in the morning, but by 8 o'clock, bombs were already flying in our little town. It didn't need many bombs to fall on our town. We didn't have big houses and tall houses. Unfortunately, we quickly ran into the cellar, and the bomb hit our house, just the corner of the house, and next door people got all killed. We came out only filthy, dirty from soot and smoke. And we are very lucky we're still alive. Of course, it was terrible in the flat because the glass was all over. My mother cleaned everything, and we still stayed for a while there. When the Germans came in, the first thing what they were doing, taking the poor people, poor Jewish people, evacuating them. Till today, I don't know what they've done with them. But the children were holding little parcels or a pillow. Or it was just a terrible, terrible scene. Unfortunately, they also arrested my father, because having a shop and a lot of Germans were living in our town and always talking about politics. Of course, my father was always against Hitler. And one day he said something to one of the Germans, and then they came and arrested my father. My uncle, my mother's brother, who was living in the same town, he knew quite a lot of Germans because he was doing business with them. And he went to one of the prominent Germans, and they let him go. So my father thought, that's no good. He bought a cart and a horse. Whatever we could load up, we did. And he was going in the middle of Poland to a town called Lubraniec, where his brother was living there. When we got there, the Germans were not there yet. Of course, I forgot also to mention, when the Germans came in, we had to have yellow bands on our left arms, and we are not allowed to walk on the pavement. We had to walk in the streets.
Barbara, could you tell me a little bit more about how the Jews were singled out by the Germans, and what do you remember about that?
Yes, for the moment in Aleksandrów, I didn't see much, because we straight away left to Lubraniec. But when we got to Lubraniec, 2 days later, the Germans came in. We had all the shutters closed, and all this, everywhere was empty. And the mayor from Lubraniec was waiting with a bottle of wine to greet the Germans, not knowing what's going to happen to us. The same thing, we had to have yellow stars in front of our clothes and in the back of our clothes. We were not allowed to walk on the pavement, but we had to walk on the middle of the road. One day, on Yom Kippur time, they came, took out all the Jewish books, all praying books. We had to carry them into the middle of the marketplace and burn them. They took also the rabbi and a cart. They took a cart without a horse. He had to load up stones on it and push it. I don't know where and what, but it was a terrible scene at the time, and we got all very frightened.
Can you talk a little bit about your parents at that time?
Yes. Now, what we did, suddenly, just before Christmas, there were placards on the streets that people who do not belong in Lubraniec, they have to leave in 24 hours. My father hired a sleigh with a driver and a horse, and we started going towards Warsaw. We stopped in a town called Lubraniec. Sorry, Kutno. I'm getting muddled up.
Can you start
that again, Barbara? Yes. We stopped in town called Kutno, where I had also a friend, Polish friend. Her parents were very friendly with my parents, and we stopped there. We thought we were only going to be a week there, and then my father wanted to go still really to Warsaw. They were very kind to us, the Polish family. My father went out to the trains to buy a ticket to go to Warsaw. And he met somebody whom he knew from Aleksandrów, and he said, I just come back from Warsaw. He was not a Jewish man. And he said, if you want to kill your wife and your child, go to Warsaw. It's very bad there. Excuse me. It's very bad there. So my father came back. He didn't buy the tickets. He came back, and we stayed still with his family, Lebedinsky. But one day, after a few weeks staying, neighbors came and they called my father and they said, you are endangering the Lebedinsky's life. If the Germans will get to know they were hiding Jewish family, they can be in trouble. My father understood that, and he went to to Kutna. Actually, it was, they were living outside Kutna. We had to cross a railway track to go to town. And the first town crossing the railway track was a family called Kronzilber. They had a shop there, a grocery shop, which was still open. Because don't forget, I'm still talking about the beginning of 1941. Sort of 1940. The beginning of 1940. And my father got a room there. He was paying rent there. And they gave us their one of their big rooms. And we stayed with them. Sometimes we helped them also in the shop. They were very kind to us. And everything was all right. We also had to walk on the middle of the road with the stars in front and of in back of our clothes. One night.
Sorry, Barbara, could you just tell me how you and your family felt about having to wear yellow stars?
It was very degrading.
If you could just start it. Wearing
a yellow star and walking in the middle of the road, you felt like an animal. Very, very degrading. You didn't have to say who you are. They knew straight away by walking on the middle of the road and wearing this yellow star. Anyway, one night, it was a knock to the door where the shop was. I was lying in bed with temperature. I had flu very badly. And two men came, and our room was the last room. And directly they ran into our room. They passed the Kronzilbers room where they were sleeping, and they came to us. So my mother kept saying to them, my daughter is very ill, she's got high temperature. They didn't take notice, and she thought something is wrong. Usually they used to come to search, but she could see is they not searching. Only they were after something. So she started shouting to me, run, run, I should run. And while she was talking to them, I slipped out and started running towards the Lebiedzinskis over the railway. And that was winter. It was February. The snow was very high. I was only in the nightdress. I didn't have no shoes. And I was running. In the meantime, my mother started to run after me, and they caught her on the street. They started beating her up. She should call me. My mother said she called me, but she didn't want me to come back. But I come back because I heard her screaming how she was beating her. They took me to the kitchen, tore the night off me, and the few jewelry and money what we had left, they were all splashed on the street, on the floor. They never picked it up. And I thought, my God, what do you want from me? They put me on the bed. I'm sorry. All right. I got it there on the chair.
Yes. Yes. We won't deal with that episode,
okay.
Barbara.
Okay. Yes. So now I tell them when I will tell when they took us to the tobacco factory. And what they done to my father. And then from there they took us to the sugar factory.
Okay, Barbara, so the next thing I'd like you to talk about is the conditions in Kutno, what happened there, if you tell us quite briefly.
Right. Now, in May, suddenly they knock on the door, two assessmen came and took the Kronzilbers away. And they took us with, put us in a tobacco factory, which was not in use from before the First World War. We had straw there, lying there on straws, and they brought us soup once a day. suddenly one day the assessment came and called out a man's name. He had a jewelry shop, and he asked, "Where is the jewelry of this and this soldier?" And he says, "Look, you took me away. It was all left there." So by accusing the German soldier being a thief, they just took a gun and they shot him in front of us. The blood was scattered all over. That was the most terrible experience also in my life. We stayed there for a fortnight, but before then, my father was a stout man, and we lying on the edge of the straw like. There were six assessmen came. They picked my father up. They told him to undress. They told him to dance. And both sides, three assessmen on one side, three assessmen on the other side, they were kicking my father, pulling him like a ball from one side to another. And then one of them took a gun, and we thought already they're going to shoot him, but they didn't. They just bamboozled him. They shot next to his ear, and my poor father didn't know where he was, and they threw him back to us. My mother and myself were thanking to God that at least he's alive and he's with us. After staying a fortnight in this horrible place, they woke us up in the night. We had to walk in fives, marching and marching and marching. Did not know where they were taking us. Eventually, they took us out into a sugar factory, which was also not in use from before the First World War. And that was absolutely the most dreadful, dreadful experience, what I had. Who had money? They were bringing first some food there. Who had money was buying. Who didn't have no money, they couldn't buy anything. Eventually, after about 5 weeks being there, they close the gates and they start throwing bread over. Illnesses started to develop already. It was just terrible. And one day, they're calling my parents' name. It was just a gendarme with a piece of paper and took us out from there. We couldn't understand what was happening. In meantime, my father's brother in Lubranec, who was chosen as a Juden Älteste, when the Germans came into a town, they used to pick about 5 to 6 Jewish people, Jewish men, who were direct in contact with the Germans, giving them orders what to do with the rest of us. And that's how my uncle, when he got to know that we are in this terrible camp, he went to them, and they gave the permission to get us out from there. And I think I'm the only one person who is really alive from this camp. We stayed in Lubranec for about till 1941, the end of summer. It was March, something like, because still cold. There was placards on the street that all the men have to assemble in the middle of the market. Of course, my father with his brother and my father's two nephews, they went, and I never saw my father again. They sent them to a place not far from Poznań, to a camp which was called Fort Radziwiłł. We had one card from my father that they're coming back home, the elderly and the young ones, but they never came back. What they've done to the men, we don't know. I think they sent them to Auschwitz, but I still don't know what happened to my father.
Barbara hasn't actually mentioned the name of Kutno. Do you want her to...
Lubranec now. So I said before Lubranec, when the...